Welcome back to a very special episode of Uncanny Tracks, where I, Bob from Cascadia, tell you what my nine favorite TV shows of 2024 were, nine favorite new TV shows of 2024, and Matt from the Southland tells me how pretentious and silly I am.
It's that time of year again where Bob tells me to watch Fargo and I don't. This is like 3 years in a row, right, Bob?
Well, in a way, it's a little bit cheating because Fargo season five played in both 2023 and 2024. I get to put it on both my list.
You asshole.
End of the year, man. There's no winning with you. If I put one that's slightly older, 2022, 2023, that I just got around to or just got access to, you make fun of me for cheating. If I put one on that actually aired in 2024, you make fun of me for cheating. There's just no winning.
It's hard. It's hard being a podcaster, Bob, isn't it?
It is. We are counting down. Sorry, I didn't have a 10th show. I just didn't watch 10 shows that I felt comfortable putting on a best of list. I only got 9.
Most of mine can fit on like my one hand, so we're good.
I should have done an overall count of how many new shows I watched in 2024, but I didn't. So, for listeners,
I think I reiterate this every year too. Bob consumes a lot of movies and television. I don't as much because I play a lot of video games. And that's the big discrepancy here. That's why Bob, I waste my time playing video games. Bob, I'm not going to say waste his time, but Bob spends his time watching movies and TV.
I study the arts of kine. Matt, number 9, City of God. Have you ever heard of that Brazilian movie? It came out in the early 2000s, 2002, I think, City of God.
Yes, I have. I have heard of this film. Go ahead and talk about it, Bob, and I'm going to tell you if I've seen it. Hold on.
It's a really great film. It's set in Brazilian favelas in Rio. It's very Quentin Tarantino inspired. So it's a coming of age crime story. The main character is a kid who wants to become a photographer.
Right.
He's taking stuff in his favelas. And so, yeah, it's a really great movie. I think the show is fine. I enjoy the show, but you should definitely watch the movie's one of the best movies of the 21st century. Although that's maybe overhyping it a little. This sequel series is good. I thought it was going to be a mini series at first, but apparently it's going to be an ongoing series. It sounds like I think a season 2 is in the works. And yeah, it's on HBO. It's on Max.
So Bob, this is sort of a newer thing that they're doing with movies and television where we have television sequels. And I've noticed this a lot with Netflix lately. The Karate Kid
started on YouTube, I believe. It moved over to Netflix. Yeah,
Cobra Kai. Yeah,
about 10 years ago, I think Showtime did it with Evil Dead, and I still haven't seen either Cobra Kai or Ash versus the Evil Dead. But I'd be curious to watch them. Do you like that trend of doing a TV show as a sequel to a movie?
I do to some degree, but it really just depends on what it is. Because like I have absolutely like Karate Kid. I mean. The movie was fine. They made 3 sequels and they made a reboot. And then now they have an entire like ongoing 5-season thing about Cobra Kai and everybody loves it. So it's weird. I don't know why that stuck, but other stuff doesn't. It doesn't hit my demographic. The only thing I've watched that I could say was a continuation of something like that from another medium was Watchmen. I know you don't like that, but I thought it was pretty good.
Well, and Watchmen definitely is a good example of that, but I also feel since the identity is more strongly with the comic,
right,
than the movie,
yeah.
It's a kind of interesting side case too. As a default, I tend to not like it, even though I think this show is good. I'm putting it on my best of the year. I do think this show is markedly inferior to the movie, and there is a little bit of it feels wrong when something exists in one medium and then you switch it to another medium, even if they're as closely related as film. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So, Bob, with our coverage of The Penguin, did you feel that same way about that?
I hate it. It's on my worst of the year.
Right.
Although, at least in The Penguin, it's a little different because it's more of a spinoff because most of those characters are not in the movie. Mm-hmm. Robert Pattinson, Batman, is not in The Penguin show. Whereas, it's most of the surviving actors of the City of the God movie are in City of God TV show.
Okay.
Just 20 years older.
There's something I was missing. Okay, so the actors are the same people from the film. And it's the same way in Karate Kid 2 and Cobra Kai, yes. Yeah. With the actual actors being... It's a new trend. Maybe it'll work. I don't know. I guess it just depends on the property.
I'm skeptical, but yeah, I definitely watched City of God, the movie. And you could do a lot worse things than watch the 6 episodes of City of God on HBO. My next show is Reservation Dogs. Reservation Dogs is final season. Anyway, I really like Reservation Dogs. In some ways, season 3, the final season of Reservation Dogs, feels a little unnecessary because the show wrapped up its main plot at the end of season 2. But season three gives it a lot of time to dwell on supporting characters and flesh out its supporting characters. So I actually appreciated that it stuck around and did that, although a couple of my friends were maybe a little skeptical about that. But basically, Reservation Dogs did what I've been asking Star Trek Lower Decks to do for three seasons, if that makes sense.
You've told me about this show before. What does it air?
It's on Hulu. It's an FX show. It's a 30-minute. It's one of these surreal comedies that's also a drama. It's about four kids who are on, I believe, a Muscogee reservation in Oklahoma. Definitely a Native reservation in Oklahoma, but embarrassingly, I'm forgetting the tribe. It's just their misadventures. They're grieving the suicide of one of their friends. There's a lot of crazy, kooky characters around the reservation. It's fun.
Well, I mean, that sounds interesting. The ones I've heard you talk about, that's the one I'm thinking, I can actually watch that. That sounds fun.
I can see you and your wife having a good time with Reservation Dogs.
Okay. Yeah, I might give that one a shot. All right, what's your number seven, Bob?
My number seven, also a Native American show, an indigenous show. It's Dark Winds Season 2. I think I put Dark Winds Season 1 on my last list. Basically, this is based on a series of cop novels written by a white dude on the Navajo reservation. Nicely, they've kept the period setting. So the novel, I've never read the novels, but I think the novels are set pretty much when they're published. But the TV show is chosen to keep that setting in the 70s, which it just gives a lot of great period detail. Also, this season, Jeri Ryan shows up and she has an oxygen tank, but she's the hottest woman you've ever seen with an oxygen tank. It's fascinating.
Yeah, Jeri Ryan's awesome. That's cool.
Yeah, man. It's criminal. We're apparently not getting the Star Trek Legacy show with her as the captain. That's just criminal.
So last time we saw her was Picard Season 3.
And yeah. It seems like they were setting up that Star Trek Legacy show, and then it just apparently is not happening.
It's like we saw a lot of her, and then we didn't see any of her at all for the last year or two. All right.
Yeah, yeah. And what I will say, this also starts a theme with my list of this is a show where George Martin is a producer of the show because he's a big New Mexico guy. And I think he was friends with the white guy who wrote the series. And I just want to say this is the best TV show, Dark Winds, to ever air with George Martin's name attached. So there.
Yeah, he's wanting to make sure he's doing everything he can except write that last couple of books for Game of Thrones. So way to go, George R.R. Martin.
Nice, nice. And if you and the wife want to watch a cop series, Matt, you could do worse than Dark Winds.
Okay. All right, now, Bob, number six, I have wanted to watch, honestly, so many times. I think I wanted to watch the film. I may have watched part of the film as well. It is actually fascinating to me. So go ahead and what's your number six pick, Bob?
Yeah, so my number six is the final season of Snowpiercer. So originally a series of French graphic novels, which are also very good, and then adapted into a really good movie by a South Korean director, and then now adapted into a TV show for TNT originally, although it finished up on AMC+. Just to be clear, the comic, the movie, and the TV series are all very distinct things, which is one of the things I like about the franchise. It's all the same premise of a train on an eternal engine running around a frozen world, right? But the actual characters, plot situation of the comics, the movie, and the TV show are all very different. The TV show is very Battlestar Galactica inspired in an interesting way. It was in an unfortunate spot because it went for three seasons on TNT, and then they made a fourth season, and then TNT effectively shelved it for literally 2.5 years before they sold it to AMC.
Oh, wow. So, Bob, yeah, if I was gonna jump into Snowpiercer, do you suggest I read the comic first, watch the movie, or go ahead and just dive into the series?
The comic's really fun, and so if you wanted to read a comic, you could read the comic. If you weren't feeling the comic, I would just say watch the movie and just see how you feel about the movie. The movie is definitely better than the TV show.
Okay. But if I like the movie, I'll probably like the show as well.
They are dissimilar enough that there's a strong possibility that some people will like the movie and not like the TV show, but I think most people will like the movie at least. I would say it's a very good Battlestar Galactica science fiction show, in my opinion. That said, I don't want to overhype it. You want to keep it somewhat modest.
I've thought about hitting the play button a couple of times. I'm real bad about that. I think you just hit the play button. I'm just more like, I could do something else.
Matt has doubts. Matt.
All right, Bob, number five.
Number five, Get Millie Black. It's a HBO miniseries, actually a HBO and a British network miniseries. It's a Jamaican cop show, and I didn't realize this when I started it, but it was written by the great Jamaican novelist Marlon James, who has a novel, The Brief History of Seven Killings, I actually just gave you for Christmas.
I just brought that book inside last night, Bob.
It's sitting in the car for a month.
I had to go out and get some stuff. I was like, oh, I didn't get this book. I was like, oh, yeah. And I was like, oh, yeah. Bob Marley. Okay, I could read this. I haven't read it yet. I haven't read anything yet, but I read the back of it.
It's intense.
So sounds cool.
This is a pretty standard cop show, pretty standard murder mystery, but it's set in Jamaica, which the setting is fascinating. The deuteragonist, which is, yeah, the protagonist's sister and the secondary main character, is a trans woman. And she has a great line in the show, "Don't worry, darling, he's a white man, all balls and no cock." I'm really glad I watched this show with my mother, so she had to process the trans woman character and that line.
Right? Wow, that's a really good line.
Get Millie Black just in miniseries, so you're not committed for too much.
So number four, Bob, Sympathizers, what you got on here?
Yeah, another HBO miniseries, Matt. Notice the theme.
Sounds like also HBO puts out stuff you like.
They do. It's also an adaptation of a novel I liked. This is a Marxist Vietnamese spy novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen called The Sympathizer. And he made a sequel, and he's apparently planning a third book in the trilogy. So I'm hoping the relative success of The Sympathizer spurs Nguyen to publish it in a spy trilogy, to publish the final novel. The main selling point I could say to you about this miniseries, which is both a spy series and about Hollywood, is that it has five different Robert Downey Jr. roles. And it also has David Duchovny playing Marlon Brando.
Okay. That actually sounds really good. Okay. And it's HBO, so you know it's premium.
And like Get Millie Black, it's a miniseries, so you're not committing to too much.
That makes me happy. See, that's the thing. Like, I can watch a good miniseries, but man, when it's like 24 episodes sometimes, it's hard. It's hard being a consumer.
My third thing. So as you know, I really disliked Fallout.
Yeah, you did. Which I don't know why.
This was the best new Western on Amazon Prime this year. It's called Head of Joaquin Murrieta. It's a Mexican show in Spanish. It has a lot of bite.
Jesus. Bob, I don't know why you hate Fallout so much. There's nothing wrong with that show. It's so good.
Yeah, because it's boring. It has good character actors and it doesn't do anything with them. It expects me to care about knights in stupid suits. It's too much slow-mo. So Joaquin Murrieta, famous Mexican bandit. So this is an action show about the famous bandit. I really liked it. I hope it gets a season two, but I'm not sure if it will. And I don't know if you've noticed this trend lately where it's really hard to tell if something will be a miniseries or if it'll be an ongoing series. Has that trend kind of happened to you too?
It has, yes. Sometimes they just air shows and I don't know. And if something's really popular, people want to see more. They don't necessarily need more, but they want to see more.
Issue of confusion about what's a miniseries or a series. It goes beyond this. I was initially confused about Get Millie Black, if they were going to do another season or not. But I would say it's particularly heightened when you're talking about a foreign show that's in a non-English language. City of God is in Portuguese and Head of Joaquin Murrieta is in Spanish. And so I think the fact that they're in foreign languages like really makes it even more opaque to me as a stupid American. Is this kind of miniseries or not? Would you like to know a little bit of hometown trivia about Head of Joaquin Murrieta? From Georgia.
Oh, from Georgia. Oh, wow. Go ahead, Bob.
From Georgia. Yeah. So like I said, Joaquin Murrieta, actual real bandit, but there's a famous novel about him. That's the first novel that we're aware of written by an indigenous American. And it's written by John Rollin Ridge, who's Cherokee. And so he's the grandson of Major Ridge, whose plantation is the Chieftain's Museum in our hometown.
Wow, that is crazy. Yeah. I've been there many a time.
It's a really interesting novel. I will say it's messed up, and it's very genocidal about both the California natives and the Chinese. So if you do read it, just take that into consideration.
Down number two, Bob.
Yeah, Matt, would it surprise you that number two would also be an HBO miniseries?
No, Bob, it does not surprise me one bit. We know you subscribe to Max, Bob.
I don't subscribe to Max.
Then how do you watch all these great series?
My friend subscribes to Max. Right? That's how I do it.
That makes sense.
This is another show. I still haven't watched Succession. I'm not sure if I would enjoy Succession or not, but Succession alums have written some great TV this year, last year. This would be an example of that. The Regime, it stars good old Kate Winslet on HBO. It's the third Kate Winslet miniseries on HBO. Here she plays a Eastern European dictator. It's really funny, like The Thick of It or Veep. It's not as good as either of those shows, but it's really funny. It's really funny satire of America, of Russia, of Germany. I really like The Regime.
All right. And then Bob, number one.
Of all the things I put on here, since you've already said you're not going to watch Fargo, you got to watch The Regime.
Okay, I've got to watch The Regime. Okay. Because I'm probably going, I may watch the Snowpiercer film. I'm actually interested in that one. Reservation Dogs, I think I'll watch as well. So Reservation Dogs and Snowpiercer, I will watch. Regime, you tell me I need to watch. So there's three. And then, of course, your number one.
You got the three things I would say you got to, although I'm glad you're thinking about Reservation Dogs, but you got to watch the City of God movie, you got to watch the Snowpiercer movie, and you got to watch the Regime miniseries.
All right. I'll add those to my list, but I'm telling you, next year when you do this, you're probably going to have the same things on this list. I'll be like, no, I didn't get around to that.
Lance. Fortunately, I won't, because The Regime is a miniseries. Reservation Dogs is over.
Is Fargo over, Bob?
I don't think it is, although Fargo's an anthology show, so it's not as clear. City of God may be back. Top pick is the thing you're not going to watch, Fargo Season 5. I already talked about it last year, but it aired across both 2023 and 2024. It is one of the weaker Fargo seasons, but it's still got an amazing cast. Gino Temple, Jennifer Jason Leigh, John Hamm, Dave Foley, all amazing. Matt really should get on that Fargo train.
Where can I watch Fargo, Bob?
I think you can watch it on Hulu.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, if you want a quick rundown of availability, Fargo's Hulu, Regime is Max, Head of Joaquin Murrieta's Prime, Sympathizer is Max, Get Millie Black is Max, Snowpiercer is AMC Plus, Darkwind Season 2 is probably AMC Plus, although it was on Max at some point and is maybe still there. Reservation Dogs is Hulu, City of God is Max.
Okay. Well, Bob, you've exhausted your list here. It's been great.
All right. Well, I don't think you were as unkind as you might have been, although it still hurts me that you're not going to watch Fargo, but for listening to me prattle on. Any TV shows you wanted to shout out this year, Matt?
Actually, no, Bob. I haven't watched that much TV. I think I made that pretty clear, and Fallout's probably the only thing. You already shot that one down. Most of the TV we watch, Bob, we cover in the podcast anyway.
Fair. You know my opinions about Fallout, although I may watch Season 2 just so you can talk about it with me.
Just thank you, Bob.
Bob and Matt on Uncanny Treks. Have a great night, everyone.
Thanks for listening.